I'm going, what are you saying to us, Lord? What are you saying? He reminded me of those two times during the conference when Tim would have, and I believe there's been one or two since I was gone to Korea. I think it happened again while I was gone. And Tim just had everybody just be quiet, no talking, no moving around. Give everybody something to write on, something to write with, made sure that everybody had something. Said, we're going to take 15 minutes. And we're going to get silent. I want you to write down what you hear from the Lord. Now, I am real accustomed to that process. I've lived that way for years. But I am not accustomed to hearing so quickly as I did then. I said, Tim, what's going on? And what? In addition, I mean, I wrote down what I heard, but I was looking around. I just got to tell you, I was looking around. I wanted to know if, and I'm telling you, the vast majority of people were also writing down. So I said, Tim, what is this? I know the Lord speaks to us, but normally it takes me a couple of hours to get my mind quiet, praying in the Spirit, and all of the things that we've learned about that. I mean, it was almost immediate I began to hear. He said, that's called corporate anointing. That's called a corporate anointing. Where you've got, the body has come together for one purpose. To hear what our Lord would say to us. I believe we need to not only do that on occasion when we come together. I believe it is going to become the common practice for each of us. At home. This is going to be a year of learning to hear like we have never heard before. I believe that with all of my heart. And I was here the last service that Dave did, and in my mind, I could be wrong, it was the communion service. Dave was trying to convey a little bit of what the Lord's showing him about the coming year. And in the course of that, I also think he was having a little trouble doing that. Getting pieces and bits of it. But it's that same kind of thing. It's hard sometimes to formulate and actually wrap words around what you're really receiving. He'll get it. We'll get it. But he got enough of it to know this. We had communion. Because this year, you're not going anywhere without walking in forgiveness. You know what? That prophecy, we've had it around for several years now, that the fast will go faster and the slow will go slower. That's going to become more so, not less so. And what I'm hearing from the Lord, those that refuse to forgive are not going to go slower. They're going to stop. It is time to learn how to do this. Yes, sir. As I was just moving some things out of my Bible here, preparing to deliver tonight's message, my eyes fell on Proverbs chapter 17, and the Lord says, right there's your message. Proverbs 17. And it picked right up where Dave was talking Christmas night. And we're going to read some prophecies, what the Lord's been saying to us about next year. Proverbs 17. The Word of God is very much like a river, you know. Who is the author, really, of the Bible? It says the Holy Ghost inspired these men of old to write this. So these words are divine utterances. It's really a miracle what we're holding in our lap there. These thoughts didn't originate on this planet. They originated in the mind of an infinite God. And I've learned over these years, you know, as I mature, it seems like when I was a child, I could only see so deep down into the river. And these verses would mean something to me at the level of the child I was walking at. But then as I grow and mature, I can see a little deeper down into the river. It seems like it clears up a little bit. And it means something a little more to me. Now, for example, the very first verse, I know exactly what it meant to me back in 1980, the first time I read it. It says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. First time I read it, it meant, and it's true, everything I'm about to say is true. What it meant was, and this is a level, your house where you live, if you're married, for example, like Sue and I were, it's be better. In other words, the most important thing is peace in the house. It's more important that she and I get along with each other and walking in love towards each other and our children and our relatives, our house, than if we had lots of riches. Now, he's not against having wealth, but if it's one or the other, choose peace. All right? As I mature, now that is a level to walk in, and that's still true, isn't it? All right? But as I matured, and especially here at this place, as we began to come here, this is also our house. How important is it that there be no strife here? How important is it that I was telling somebody today, I said, look, I don't always agree with everything Tim says or does. He doesn't always agree with everything I say or do. And be honest with you, I'm not around Dave enough to know. No, I'm really not. That's what, you know. But I'll tell you this, I know this. This I know. I said, I was sent here by the Lord to be part of a three-stranded cord. A three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And I don't have to agree with every little thing. And we may disagree on some things. We don't. But even the point is, even if we did, what's that got to do with why God sent me here? And you will find me with Tim and Dave contending for revival until we have revival. There will be no strife between us. Do you understand that? See, you make that decision your own self. You make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. Say, well, what about that other person? No. You make that decision. You understand? Let's take a little deeper level. See, that's another level, isn't it? Begins with your natural house, progresses to your spiritual house. But see, each and every one of us is a house for the Lord. This next year, I'm telling you right now, the reason that it's so important to have communion, you need to not be double-minded in your house. And there needs to be no division in you. You need to examine every room. Examine every room. And if you're still holding bitterness, resentment, we're not asking you to go on fishing trips. I'll be honest with you, most times at communion time, at this point, I mean, I don't know how many times in those early days, man, I'd run to that cup and run to that bread. Yeah, I could think of somebody right away. Now, I'm not saying never, but boy, it's seldom ever I can even think of anything. So we're not asking for fishing trips. But you know if there's a room you're not letting the Lord in. You know if you're holding something against somebody. What he's saying this year, it's time to clean the house. I mean, let the Lord deal with you. And if there's somebody you say, yeah, I forgave them, I just don't ever want to see them. Or, I forgave them, I don't ever want to speak to them. Or, I forgave them, but if they're walking down the street, I make sure I cross over to the other side so I don't meet them. There's a few doors left in your house that need to be cleaned out. Amen? And that's preparation for what's coming. See, because that kind of thing is foundational. And he's been doing this foundation, he's been digging this foundation for years and years. It's not like this is the first time we've heard these things. But now it's time to fulfill those things. I'm telling you, he keeps saying it in different ways. My dad was a superintendent, again, on high-rise buildings all my grown-up years. And when the boss says, we're through with the foundation, buddy, we are through with the foundation, and if you keep digging down there, you're going to get fired. Or you can go to another project where they're still digging. We are going up higher. And that means, to a large extent, yes, sir, okay, to a large extent, all these things that you know, I'm saying this to me too, I could be sitting right, picture me sitting next to you. I'm preaching to me too. All these things that we know, this is the year we do. This is the year we do. Hallelujah. Been hearing about assimilation for years. When are you going to start? Or for some of you, when are you going to start again? You know, you were going to go through the whole New Testament. Remember that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a preacher in the making if I ever heard one. Now, based on that, goes back to Proverbs 17. Look at verse 2. This is why I say the fast are going to go faster and the slow are going to go slower, and those that refuse to forgive are going to stop. Because a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and he shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. See, a wise servant, even someone who's really wasn't born, see, that's a prophecy about the Gentiles, if you want to know the truth of it. We were not born into this covenant. We were not physically born sons and daughters of Abraham. Gentiles were always the outcast. But those that are obedient and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive an inheritance. We have been born again. He has made us part of the family. But to be that wise servant, wise means you have enough wisdom to do what the Lord says. Amen? All right. Now this is verse 3 is the foundation. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. What's it talking about there? Well, that's how you refine silver and gold. You know how it works. You put the ore in there, you melt it. Like if it's silver or gold, either one, what starts happening? Impurities, separates from the pure, comes right to the top where everybody can see it. Does that sound anything like any message you've ever heard? Anyone been around any kind of message like that? I've been praying here and I feel worse than when I started. Good. It is working. You're being uglier than when you started too. And that's okay. We understand what's going on. We'll love you through your impasses. Amen? But isn't that exactly the foundation that he's been laying? He's trying to purify a people to make us into that image, that same image, conform us to the same image as Jesus Christ. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord, boy, he's had you in a furnace for your heart. That praying in tongues, that fasting, and I want to read you some prophecies. The fasting furnace is about to become 7 times hotter. You're going to be crying out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Have you said it? Lord, you better be with me in this fire. I don't know how you say it. Those guys. The Lord tries the hearts. And a wicked doer gives heed to lies, false lips. And a liar, he gives ear to a naughty tongue. That just goes right along with the flow there. One of the first lessons that the Lord ever had me teach here when I came was, my ear is not your trash can. And if you start telling me trash about somebody, anybody here, I'll try and get you to stop nicely. But if you want, I'm just going to walk away and leave you talking. And you can get mad if you want to. But I am not going to lend my ear to a naughty tongue so you can make trash can out of me. God sent me here to die for you people, not spread gossip about you. Not to join in that kind of stuff either. Same with you. Amen? I'll tell you one thing I know about Pastor Dave. I've been here 13 years and I have yet to hear him say anything ugly about anybody. Hallelujah. Verse 5, whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker. See, this is amazing. I was just studying this just during the offering. That's where my eye fell on it. One of the things that Dave said Sunday night, Christmas night, he's talking about, I do remember that time when God was dealing with judgment. And I thought we was going to go into this long series, and I think Dave did too. But it's like the Lord brought it. We had just two or three services on it, and there was a couple events that came up, and then it was like he moved on to other things quickly. But Sunday night, again, you heard Dave say, one of those qualities you have to have, one of those attributes you have to have in order to be used in judgment. There can't be anything in you that is happy when somebody else falls. Can't be anything in you like that. Peter was not pleased when he had to speak those words over Ananias. He wasn't happy about that. That's why God was free to use Peter. The qualifying factor, mercy, you have to have the attribute of mercy, triumphs against judgment. That has to be your motivator. If you like that, where nothing in you rejoices at another person's calamity. You're beginning to become a candidate now. Like Jesus on the cross. I mean, they're killing you. What did he pray? Father, forgive them. I'm here to die for them. The same one. That Roman soldier put that spear in his side. The blood ran. Yeah, Jesus died for that one too. But here it is right here in Proverbs 17. He that is glad at calamities. And in the King James it says, shall not be unpunished. And the actual Hebrew says, he shall not be held innocent. That's why Jesus, judge not lest you be judged. If there's anything in you that rejoices at that other person's judgment, boy, you better be careful. You better be careful. You better not be guilty of the same thing you're judging that person for. Because with the same measure you judge them, buddy, that same judgment's going to come back on you. And you better be found innocent. Hallelujah. Now, verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men. Glory to God, I can rejoice in that one. And the glory of children are their fathers. Now, excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Lying lips a prince. Let's think about that. I have seen a horrible thing, Solomon said. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking. Why is that? The prince is the new man. That's a prophecy. The horse represents the direction your life. It represents your ministry, your whole life on this planet. Who is directing it? See, the prince is supposed to be up on top of there, the new man. The part of you that's born of God is supposed to be directing your life. Well, who is this servant? The servant, that's the soul, the intellect, the mind, the will, the emotions. That's the part of us that God gave us to be servant to the prince. But because we haven't understood those things, the vast majority of us, right? That's why Kenneth Hagin says, the Lord told him, not just the sheep, he said, the vast majority of ministers, those called to the fivefold, live and die and never enter the first phase of their ministry. That's a lot of folks. That scares me. You know why that happens? Servants upon horses. Being led by your own mind. Being led by your own agenda. Being led by good ideas that really are not God ideas. And you can go your whole life like that. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the message of this church. You don't have to remain in that condition. If Sue and I had kept on that path in the early days when we had that Bible study, those of you that were coming, you know, it was already overflowing the house. I mean, our little old house, we was averaging 55 people a week there. I mean, there was nowhere to sit, nowhere to stand. People was clear around the hallway. I couldn't even see them. I had to shout. And if you had to go to the bathroom, people were sitting Indian style all over the floor. You had to go like this. Oops, excuse me. You know, trying to get down the hallway. Now, if that would have kept on just even another month or two, what are you going to do when there's 60? What are you going to do when there's 70? What are you going to do if there's 100? What's going to happen without even intending? You're going to wind up getting a bigger place. We'd have wound up pastoring a church. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, it took me completely off guard, completely by surprise the day the Holy Ghost told me. Said, you are not called to, He has not called you to pastor. And He never will. Sue says she already knew that. I heard that. I didn't know it, and she hadn't told me. I didn't know it. It was news to me. But I shudder to think what would have happened if I had not had those silent times with the Holy Ghost. Get quiet enough to get that instruction. Can you understand how much that has changed the direction of our life? I mean, God would have blessed that path, and I'm sure good things would have happened on that path, but it wasn't His path.
Amen.
Glory to God. I want the prince, I want that new man on the inside of me hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want him up on the horse directing this life. And I want my soul to be a servant walking along beside, bowing the knee, say, what does the Master say?
Amen.
That's what I want to do. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. I also want to give the Lord, I want to thank Him because last year at this time, those of you that get our letter, or you can go to the website and look at this month's letter. A year ago, this same time of the year, I had visions of being in a wheelchair with a hip replacement and probably never traveling overseas again, probably never doing much ministering again because the pain in my body was so bad. Some of you that were at Calling in the Lost, there was a couple of times I couldn't even stand long enough to do a Calling in the Lost service. And I had to do the service sitting down in a chair. Now that's better than not doing it at all. But that is not the Lord's plan for Gary Carpenter. And thank God for a wife who loves me enough to speak the truth in love to me and say, if you don't change what you're saying, and she didn't do it in a bad way now. She said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal the whole rest of your ministry. Boy, that was a wake-up call for me. And I asked the Lord to help set a watch on my lips. And from that day forward, He allowed me to kind of think before I spoke. You know, when you set a watch on your mouth, you don't just say everything that comes to your mind, you know. And I was amazed how often words would come right to the gate. And I'd go, whoa, I'm not going to speak that. But I had been for years just calling things that are as though they are. And if I had stayed in that, I don't think even today, 1 year later, I would be able, I don't know that we would even be in ministry. Because it was bad. Most of you don't know how bad. I only showed up here when I could walk. Look at me now. Look at me. I mean, I changed what I was saying. I changed what I was doing. I asked the Lord. I asked the Lord also. I began praying about it. I'll tell you what it is now. He also gave us natural wisdom, too. He reminded me of a spirit-filled doctor that had helped Sue years ago. I went to see him. He said, you don't even have a hip problem. I thought I had a hip problem. He said, it's not a hip problem. It's a spine problem. Began straightening that out. Other things have happened. But supernatural wisdom and natural wisdom. But I'll tell you, it begins with your hope. I had to get an image again on the inside of me that I could walk. I would stand on purpose and say, I will preach in Korea again. And at the time, I was standing about like this because I could not straighten up for anything. I will preach in South Africa again. I will travel anywhere you want me to go. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Boy, it took time, didn't it? It didn't happen overnight. I like instant overnight things. Yeah. You know, we're the microwave generation. I remember when my parents had to actually cook the food. We put it in the microwave and then stand there and yell, hurry. You know? It didn't happen overnight. I wish it would have. But 1 year later, what a difference. Don't lose hope. You get an image on the inside. You hear me? You get an image on the inside. Hallelujah. See, and even that is the spirit man telling the soul what it will see. The soul, if you don't take a charge of it, it will just observe the natural circumstances. And that's all it will... What the soul believes, what it sees, what it feels, what it hears. You have to force it to see what God says. Say what God says until you have what God says. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. Thank you, baby. That's still my girlfriend. We had our 30th wedding anniversary this month. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Our history goes back about 40 years, actually. I began carrying her books in the 8th grade. And those of you that was watching, I'm still doing it today. Carried them in tonight. Hallelujah. All right. Now, yes, sir. Now, with that thinking in mind, all of that, we could go on. Let me make sure now. We'll make sure I'm not... Yes, sir. Let me just get a couple more out of this chapter. You ought to wear this one. We almost ought to do like God commanded the Jews. We ought to print this one out and hang it before our eyes somehow so that everywhere you go, you got to read it. And it's this one, verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. I've seen a lot of... Okay. I got to say this in love. This is part of why He is this time, why he's been digging so long on the foundation. Because in times past, I'm talking specifically now about those healing revivals that came, and thank God for them, in the 40s and the 50s. And they were primarily by the gifts of the Spirit. And thank God for those. I have relatives, you know, that were healed in some of those old tent meetings. And even though they're still Baptist to the bone. Okay, and thank God for it. I'm not speaking derogatory, just the way it is. You don't want in their presence to speak ugly about certain ministers. Uh-huh. Not the one where they got healed. Or whether their relative or somebody they knew got healed. But now the problem was with that, is that very often that anointing, because it would come as the gifts, it wasn't necessarily a mark of maturity. And so, you know, like this one minister, he flew to another minister's tent meeting with a crew, and they got out and they measured the tent in all directions. And he immediately ordered a tent 6 inches bigger in every direction so he could advertise. He had the largest tent ministry in America. Now, that's just a little bit on the carnal side. That's a little bit, just a skosh on the baby side. Plus, there were other scandals, and I don't want to, you know, we could just pick one. There's all kinds of things that happen. And the reason he's saying this is because I started to say something along this line. Very often when he just starts begin using them in the simple gifts, because of lack of maturity, God will show you something about somebody. Well, if you do either one of these things, you better get back in the prayer closet. If he shows you something about somebody that's really not real flattering, you want a few hundred more laps around Mount Sinai? Go and gossip that to somebody else. Just go and gossip that. Or take a false responsibility without asking God first, that you're supposed to go and straighten that person out. I've seen people that, don't try and figure out who I've seen, because I've been at this a long time. May not even be anybody here. I've seen more than one. Where God would start with words of knowledge, that's usually how it starts. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And all of a sudden they're a mighty prophet now, because God showed them an accurate word of knowledge about somebody. So they think their job is to go over. See, and a real prophet does kind of operate this way. I've known some real ones. I know one now. It's not the best day you ever had when he comes to your door. Because prophets, they have no mercy gift. They really don't. They have no pastor in them at all. Their job is to come tell you what God said. Like, you know the time that God sent Kenneth Hagin to that one minister? And he says, if you don't change this, and this, and this, you'll be dead in 12 months. You know what happened? The guy was dead in 12 months. He didn't change any of those things. See, that's the way a prophet is. He'll come and say, thus saith the Lord. He doesn't sugarcoat it or nothing. And when he's done, he's through. He says, let's go have lunch. And you're there all devastated. Well, now that's fine. If you've got a prophet's anointing, if that's really what you're called to do, fine. But very often, God's just beginning to use you just a little bit in the gifts of the Spirit. I can't tell you now the number of lines I'm in, and I see. I'm not looking at, I'm not looking at anybody. And I see the dirty magazines under the bed. And I see the internet fingers. And I see the things. And I know, it's not a guess anymore. I know. I've been at it too long. And not once has he had me in a line. Oh, point that out to her, you know, anybody. What does he have you do? It depends. I have to listen and find out in every case what to do. Sometimes he'll have me have a line for the whole church to repent. You know, you know who it is he's after. You only know about the one. So you kind of teach a little, if this is what he says to do now. And you teach and you say, now, boy, if you, you know, if you're guilty of this and, yet, you know, if you've been messing around pornography and this would be a good day to repent. And you stretch it out for a long while. And then you finally give an altar call. And you know the Lord's only after the one. 27 people come up in line. You know, you didn't know anything about them. And sometimes he doesn't come. Now, what do you, or her, it's not always a him. Well, now what do? You pray and you find out. Usually what he has me do, well, he's never had me go talk to him one-on-one yet. Usually what he does, he'll have me pray for him. And I mean on purpose, every day. Pray for him. And I was teaching along this line at Calling in the Lost, and I could see the look of horror on some people's faces. And I said, hey, this is no time to get alarmed. God's been showing Dave that stuff ever since you've been here. Don't be afraid to get in the line now. What? You think God hadn't been showing him all this time? First time it happened with me, one of the first times, I was in Korea. Just to show you, parentheses. This is a training moment. I was in Korea. Obviously, first time I'd ever been there. I'm halfway around the world. Obviously, I don't know anybody there but Jin Ho and Sune. I don't know anybody else, okay? They don't even speak the language. I don't speak their language. They don't speak mine. I'm going through this line. I'm coming down in front of this one guy. Now, here's a word of knowledge. Here's how it works. I'm standing in front of this guy, and I mean as plain as I see Mary Corbett sitting right there, just as plain as that. I see next to him a carpenter's toolbox. I know what a carpenter's toolbox is. My dad started out as a carpenter. It's a long wooden box with a wooden handle on it. And that's where you keep your level and your saws and all of your things that you used. And in those days, the old, you know, the drill that you do by hand and everything. I saw it right next to this guy. I said, Jin Ho, when I stand in front of this fellow, I see tools. I see saw and hammer and nails and all kinds of carpentry type tools. Jin Ho's eyes got a little bit big. And I said, do you know why I would see that in front of him? Now, we're in the line on this one, because that's not something unpleasant, okay? This is risky, by the way. What if Jin Ho goes, no, I don't have a clue. See, that's why the devil, you know, the devil will keep you from stepping out on things. But this time, he says, this is the man who works for the church, that if we need anything built or torn down, he is the man that does it. He is our hammer and saw man. And I'm asking the Lord, why are you showing me this? Well, then the Lord showed me what the Lord wanted to tell the guy. The Lord had a message for him. And he wanted to phrase it like this. Now, you know that I had no way of knowing that, right? The same God that showed me that has a message for you. He wants you to pay attention. And it was a good message. But do you see how that the gifts there were used for comfort, for edification, for exhortation? God was just trying to give the guy confidence that this flaky American might really be hearing him. And that the guy ought to listen to what comes next. Somebody might be saying, well, what came next? That's none of your business. That was the message for that guy. But now what happens so often in maturity, I thank God for the slowness. I mean, one of the worst things I ever heard, I did not want to hear this from Tim or nobody when I came to this church. Tim says, God has two speeds. Slow and slower. Isn't that a wonderful word? Now, looking back on it over 13 years or so, I thank God for the slowness. I thank God it's taken a long time for that foundation. I thank God there's been time enough for a little bit of the nature of Christ to come along with the giftings of the Spirit. So that this time, we're not going to be out there making messes with our diaper needing changing in front of the whole world. Amen? Like it's been in the past. Hallelujah. All right. We could go on. Let me make sure that I'm not leaving anything essential out, but he wants to talk about these prophecies just a little bit here. I think we're okay. This came through Pastor Dave, December 14th. Because how many of you would like to know a little bit about what's coming for the year 2006? Can I see your hand? Okay. There's a lot of information just in this prophecy. See, the way the year began, Tim and I both had this witness. Boy, this is a year. Not that we shouldn't always pay attention to the prophecies, but we just had this knowing. This year, I mean, I had it in me so strong at the beginning of the year because I didn't want to wait a long time to, you know, I don't know about you, but I have trouble remembering those prophecies when I get home. And so I would bring my own recorder and tape them, see if I could tape them in the service, just, you know, just a little recorder. Well, Tim, we were, you know, so we've tried, you know, harder this year. The prayer centers tried harder to make those prophecies available quicker, okay? But boy, it's still going on. Now listen to these. I'm going to have to go, we're getting, you know, close to time here. The Lord says, now this was December 14th through Dave. The Lord says, well, now this one is good news. For as I have laid the foundation, none of you need to fall from the basics of the foundation that I've laid. Say this after me. I am not going to fall away from the foundation. No longer falling out of prayer. I'm falling into prayer. No longer not fasting. I am a fasting lifestyle person now. I am a worshiper of God. And I speak God's word. Not gossip. Not lies. I say what God says. And He says, I don't have to fall away from the foundation. And I'm not falling away from it. Glory to God. Everyone say, I'm falling into prayer this year. Hallelujah. But now, even now, different branches off of the foundation are developing in those who are giving themselves to me in the revelation gift, that's tongues and worship. Now he's saying there's more to come. The foundation is laid, but he says we're not near done. There's branches coming off in different people as I read this, different ones who are seeking him. There's still revelation knowledge coming, but it's based on the foundation, not establishing that foundation. For one indeed will explore and build this limb that will connect to the teachings of the foundation, and another one will have great, great understanding and wisdoms in other areas. But still others will go forward and they'll have great understanding of the existence of the offices and callings. And all of this is converging. Converging means it's coming like this. What was wide and dispersed and spread out, maybe, I think God, this is a time of connecting. The business world calls it networking. We're coming. God is converging all of these things, bringing it together for the end times. He says, all of this is converging in these last days. Know this, it is my desire for my glory to cover the earth like waters cover the sea. Oh, and I get this. What's 2006 going to be like? This is a time of great salvations upon this planet that you live on. Boy, there's some shouting ground right there. This is a day. I don't know if you know this. I just saw this on the internet this week. For 30 years, there has been a war going on in Indonesia, the separatist groups. And it's been a 30-year war. The tsunami, when it hit, I'm not saying God sent it at all. What Satan intends for evil, God turns it for good. Both sides said, this is the end of our war. And this week, all the rebellious people, the ones who they called rebels, all that group, they brought in their weapons voluntarily, laid them down, says, we're going to work with you for peace in this country. We're coming into a time of great salvations upon this planet. It will be a time when I'll jump from city to city And many of them will leave with what they need to establish themselves on the strong foundation. The sower will overtake the reaper, and from city to city it will be a shorter work as revival rages. That's happened before. People would come to Azusa Street, not even speaking in tongues, and they'd leave speaking in tongues and with the gifts of the Spirit operating, and operating as a completely different person than when they came. That's happened before. T.L. Osborne was in a meeting, and he I think I know who the minister was, but I'm not for sure, but it was one of those supernatural healing type meetings. And something on the inside of him kept saying, "You can do this. You can do this." He said like 1,000 voices swirling around his head going, "You can do this." That night he had a vision. Jesus appeared while he was in bed. He says, "My eyes were open and water ran from them, but I don't remember crying." And he got what I call a close encounter of the God kind. And that was the beginning of a worldwide ministry that has probably seen more miracles, they say, than maybe any other ministry in history. Maybe Benny Hinn will pass him, maybe not. We don't know. Maybe we'll pass him. But what I'm saying, and it's not competitive when I say that. I'm just saying we're looking for bigger and bigger things as we come into the end times. But it came when he went to that meeting. And that's what God's saying. Where there's no fire, you can congregate all you want to, and everyone leaves cold. When there's a raging fire, all you got to do is get close, and you get on fire too. That's what's coming. That's how I see it. All you got to do is get there. Just touch it. You're going to be on fire too. Man, that is a lying clock on the wall. We have a clock on the wall that lies. Therefore, now what's the instruction? Be strong. Therefore, be weak and fall out of prayer again. No, it says, be strong and know that these things have been ordained for many centuries, but I'm able to begin to work some of them now. Be strong and have a good cheer. For a time that you've been waiting for is very, very near. Now, you remember when that other prophecy that came forward this year says he's going to merge wealth with media? He's still talking about that. He says it a little different way, but now listen to this next prophecy that came that same night, or same day. Why is God wanting to do that? Now he says merging wealth and media. He wants this revival seen instantaneously by the internet, by satellite, by TV. It's going to take a lot of money. Everyone say, money. It is, because of what God's wanting to do. He's wanting this to be seen worldwide. Why? Well, he tells us right here. It says, because of the vast web, interesting word the Holy Spirit chooses, because of the vast web of communication, thousands can be taught at once. Millions. Where before, in the earlier days and centuries, people could be taught only within range of hearing of the man who was doing the teaching. But not now. Not now. I saw the whole thing for a minute. Millions can be taught where before it was just hundreds of thousands. Glory to God. Jinho tells me that every time, one of the reasons for going is that you can teach the same lessons, but he interprets in Korean. So you have the message in Korean. Well, he posted that at his website, all those messages that we did together. He told me, when I came back this time, he says, some of those messages from 2003 have been downloaded and listened to 6,000 times. 6,000 times, and I haven't even been there. And the thing of it is, that's only the ones that know about it. If a real supernatural revival and people were really searching, you could have 6 million just as easy. We got millions just in this nation that has access to the internet. Hallelujah. Millions will prepare themselves in the foundations and the teachings, and millions then will get a foundation under them, for there will be those who have already been through the process who will be able to minister to them. Gee, I wonder who he's talking about. I wonder if there'll be anybody there who's going to help them through their impasses and love them when the dross comes to the top. And they hate you, and they hate Dave, and they hate Tim, and they especially hate Sue. And you're still going to love them. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's a person that hates for no reason at all, if they hate Sue. But you got to love them anyway. You've been through it, is what he's saying. You can help them. See? For there will be those who have already been through the process who will be able to minister to them, for I will establish myself in presence. You know what? Plain English? He's going to show up. Hey, when God shows up, the mountains flee. When God shows up, disease runs off. When God shows up, devils go, see ya. And the mighty signs and wonders will be the signpost to the truth. And they'll point truth out and not error. That means you're not going to be selling your prophecies for $100. You're not going to be cutting your shirt up into little squares and selling them. You're not going to be selling any Arkansas river sand and saying it's from the River Jordan. You're not going to be selling old plastic wallets that never go empty. And millions and millions shall be taught at one time. Indeed, it is, not will be, it is a glorious time of harvest and a glorious time of reward that you live in. Hallelujah. That's the good news. Because of the time, I'm going to go to some essential things here now. When you enter into your time of fasting, everyone lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for entering our time of fasting. Whew, I've never seen so much faith in my life right there. Hallelujah. You talk about calling things that be not as though they were, my... He says, when you enter. Notice how positive God is. Not if you sort of maybe choose a little bit, kind of, if it's maybe. No, he says, when. When you enter into your time of fasting. When you separate yourself to me, says the Lord. Hear this. For the enemy, he's been building up strength for an onslaught. But then, this is why I've given you instruction. Before the main body of it hits. For you that are in series fasting, you will find that the best that the enemy has may have moved you in years past. But it will not stop you this time. So be strong. In the beginnings, now here's a real instruction with a promise. Be strong in the beginnings of your fastings, so you'll finish up strong. For indeed, you weather this part, and then you'll be ready for my wave of glory when I pour my love and my worship out upon you. Then Dave spoke with some explanation here, and he says, well, I don't like the part about the devil getting mean, but I like the part about there's nothing he can do. And in the series fasting, apparently the Lord is really going to emphasize series fastings this year. Series. And we've been taught. See, if you don't know what that is, the foundation is out there in the tape library for you. It's in that fasting series. In the series fastings that you will be doing, be strong in the beginning of it, and you'll find after the initial strength you'll need, then it will be easy. That's what the Lord was saying there. Be strong in the beginning of it, and somehow His grace is going to come and help you finish it. He said it'll be kind of like a coasting. You'll be able to do it, and He wants you to get ready for what He's about to do. How many knows he's already warned us about the fasting part, and now as it's getting closer, more and more and more detail is beginning to come. I already told Sue, I said, I thank God for this week, and I'm eating anything I want to. Because I know that I am like the prisoner on death row. This is my last meal. This week is my last week. If I'm hearing the Lord right, I'll probably, and this is a sad thing to say, but it's true anyhow, I'll probably wind up doing more fasting this year than I've done in all the time I've been here up till now. I'm not real thrilled about it either. But I am thrilled about the results. Now here's another instruction. I study these for the instructions. I can't do anything about what I can't do anything about. You got that? Boy, that's a deep call. I can't do anything about what I can't do anything about. But the things that he puts on here that I can do, boy, I want to hang on to that. I do not want to forget that. Now, there's a real good instruction here. Watch this. There's really a grace for this. He says, Dave is talking now. He says, my instructions have been toward series fastings. And there's a reason for that. I understand it. But whatever kind you do, I can tell you that there's grace that night on me for it. Now, here's the instruction. You need to get the fasting tapes out. Find out how not to hurt yourself and the physical aspects of fasting. Get them out. Now, that's an instruction I can obey. Get them out and listen to them again. Then, if you get weak during your fast, play one of them. And it'll make you get right back on the top again. Man, I glean through these prophecies looking for something like that. I want help in the midst of the trial. All right? I want to have them fasting tapes so handy I can go, whew. Because how many of you know? I don't know about your old flesh. Mine, it never has yet. I don't think it ever will agree to this whole fasting deal. And it'll rise up in big rebellion fast on you. You know, especially driving by your favorite food place. And our car's old enough, we still have a tape player in it. You know? If the pressure comes on me strong, I'll be going, ah! I'm going to have them tapes where I can just reach over and get it and put it in there. And Dave will say, and you're praying in tongues builds your spirit man up, and fasting brings your flesh down. And pretty soon you'll be dancing on top of the flesh. And you know, I say, yes, 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 I needed to hear it. Yes, I'm fasting to bring my flesh lower. Yes. Okay. Whew. I can make it past another meal now. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's saying do. He's not saying that for no reason. He's trying to help us, okay? So what's 2006 going to be like? I believe it's going to be the best year we've ever had yet. I believe it is the year of the gospel entrepreneur. I believe it is the year of the kingdom steward. I believe it is the year of, no matter what your calling is in the body, if you've been putting down that foundation, and it seems to you like you don't have much to show for it, I believe this is the year your building is going to start coming up out of the ground. Not only are you going to start seeing the effects of it, everybody's going to start seeing the effects of it. And this revival is going to get underway. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forever in 3 days and 2 weekends.